Are y'all very sure this evening? All right. Well, y'all didn't sing like it. Y'all got to sing out. All right. Are we very sure? Amen. All right. Are y'all tired this evening? I know it's a Wednesday evening, and sometimes those are hard to get here for, especially when you find out that I'm preaching once you get here. And so I pray that you will be able, hey, if you're going to fall asleep, just keep your mouth shut, all right? We don't need any of that. We don't know why you're asleep, all right? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And now none of the young people should fall asleep. Y'all should have the most energy of anybody tonight, okay? It's summer. Y'all don't have school going on. Y'all enjoying your summer? All right, they're about as tired as y'all. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses... I've got down here verses 20 through 50, but I'm not going to read all of those. I'm going to read verse number 40. Verse number 40 to begin here this evening. And I'm going to do something unusual, but I think we could all use it tonight. If y'all all stand as we read God's word this evening. All right. I think y'all could stand. Maybe, you know, when we used to go to youth conferences growing up in camps, they'd make us do jumping jacks and all kinds of stuff to wake up. I won't do all of that, but I will ask you to stand for verse number 40 as we read. The Bible says, "And he took his staff," this is David, "in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this evening that you've given us, Lord, another opportunity, one more chance to be in your house, Lord, perhaps before the rapture takes place. Lord, one more opportunity to listen to your word, one more opportunity to praise you, one more opportunity, Lord, to sing these hymns. Lord, it may just be an ordinary Wednesday night, but it might be the last Wednesday night, Lord, that we get to have here on this earth. And I pray, Lord, that we would give it wholly to you, completely to you, and that we'd praise you and glorify you in all that's said and done tonight. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, if this is the last Wednesday night here on this earth, Lord, that if they're not saved, Lord, that they put their faith and trust in you before it's just a little too late. Lord, I pray that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. Go about us, Lord, pave the way as we go through the message, and we'll thank you for it all. Be with our pastor as he is out sick. I pray, Father, that you'd help him and Miss Melva at this time and encourage him and heal him, and we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. David and Goliath is, of course, a most popular passage to preach. It's even a most popular passage to teach in Sunday school. And many of us have heard messages from this text of Scripture, and rightly so. Everyone likes a good underdog story, don't they? Every time I'm watching football or baseball or anything like that, I see it pop up. I'm rooting for the team that's losing. That's who I want to see come back. I want to see them come back and win, unless it's like the Patriots or something. I don't need them to win. But, you know, I want to see somebody come back. I like that underdog story. Well, here we find the underdog of all history, David versus Goliath. The armies of Israel were paralyzed by fear of Goliath, the giant warrior measuring six cubits in a span, who challenged any man of Israel to one-on-one combat. But David wasn't scared to do something about it. You see, day after day, Goliath would taunt the soldiers of Israel, defying their God and instilling terror in their hearts. He would make fun of God. He would call out God, and he would say, "Who is your God? He's not anything that can take care of us and can defeat me." And he'd ask for them to send a man. "I want to face somebody." And you find that here David, a young shepherd boy, finds himself in the heat of things in no time. Now, he was the youngest of eight sons of Jesse, and while the other brothers were at the battlefront, David was commissioned by his father to deliver food to them. Well, upon arriving at the camp, something Goliath did not plan happened, something he didn't plan for or account for. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 23, if you'll turn a page back and look at verse number 23 with me, the Bible says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion." Now, we're going to be vocal tonight, all right? So who is the champion there? Goliath. "There came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. Maybe he read ahead, I don't know. Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. He's still defiling God. He's still doing all these things. He's still taunting them. But notice the phrase at the end. Say it out loud with me. And David heard them. Let's try that again. Ready? And David heard them. Here, this isn't something Goliath had planned for. David hears Goliath's blasphemous words and is stirred with righteous anger towards him. You know, there was a time, really not so very long ago, when soldiers in America, men went to battle simply by hearing what was going on. They didn't like the things that were going on in World War I, so they went ahead and they were trying at 17 years old to enlist. World War II, maybe Vietnam, some of you would remember that, the people that went off to those wars. It's just because they heard what was going on. They didn't like what they heard, and they wanted to do something about it. Well, how often do we fight back simply based on what others are saying? You know, sometimes we will allow God to take a lot of flack at work because we just don't want to stir anything up. We don't want to cause any problems. We don't want that person to not like us anymore. We want to be able to have that fellowship with them. And so we won't say anything to them about the way that they're speaking. Or, you know, this was one that used to really get on my nerves. And is when they take God's name in vain. They'd use a cuss word as God's last name. And I didn't really like that. And so I'd have to say something to people when they do that. And, you know, they didn't always react great. And sometimes they didn't like me much after that. And but that is how we should be. When we hear something, just when we hear God's name being slandered, we should speak up for God. We should speak up for God when it comes to Himself. We should speak up for God when it comes to the church. You know, people will bash the church. They will say, you know, oh, you go to Grace at Calvary. Ooh. Well, what's wrong with Grace at Calvary? Why don't you tell me? Have you been? Have you come and visited? Have you, you know? And they're gonna slander the church. They're gonna throw this bad look upon the church. And we shouldn't allow them to just say those things. When David heard the words of Goliath, he did something about it. Something else that I don't like is when people start making fun of the older people in the church, the faithful people, the older saints. That bothers me. I don't like it when people do that. These are the people that have stood the test of time. These are the people that have been faithful to God, and we should show them a measure of honor. And so sometimes all it takes is for us to hear something, and we should do something about it. You know, it's okay to get upset with the sin of this world. It's okay to have that righteous anger within you because of the sin of this world. In fact, I believe it is our job to hate sin and love the sinner. And this, so it should make you angry with a righteous anger when sodomy is taking place in our nation. That should make you angry with kind of a righteous anger. That bothers me. When all of the abortions take place, that bothers me. I don't speak of that lightly. I'm a little upset when it comes to those things. The general wickedness of our world and the direction that it is going should stir something up within you to say, hey, that's not right, and I want to do something about it. And so, notice I said to love the sinner and hate the sin. David was stirred up and took action. I'm afraid too many times, though, Christians, they get riled up. They hate the sin, they get riled up, they get fired up, but they never do anything about it. They never try to preach the truth. They get mad at the TV because it's telling them all the different things, the bad things that are going on, all the wickedness on college campuses and all the terrible things that go on in inner cities and all these things. And you get mad and you say, man, all that stuff is terrible. Okay, now that has built up within you, now it has to be righteous anger, all right? But now as David had something stirred up within him, he did something about it. Too many, I think, Christians for so long, they get upset, they get angry, but they don't actually do anything about it. See, we do a good job at hating the sin, but we do a bad job at loving the sinners. They're just sinners. A dog, what do you expect a dog to do? It's going to wag its tail, it's going to, you know, go run around outside, whatever. It's going to do dog things. And humans are going to do human things. Sinners are going to do, they are going to sin. And that should upset us, the sin. But we should love them enough to try to reach them. And so, but David here, unlike the seasoned warriors around him, does not cower in fear. Instead, he sees the challenge as an opportunity to, t-
to demonstrate his powerful God and how powerful his God was. And while the heart of this account lies in David's faith in God, I want us to look at something else in the passage this evening. Now, how many of you know, I'm going to ask, just children, all right? Just children. And you may think you're a child, but I'm saying just children, 18 and under here, or 17 and under, okay? What did David use to kill the giant? All right, children, y'all can speak up. Y'all ain't got to raise your hand, just speak up. A sling, all right? He used a sling, okay? And, of course, that's what he used. He used a sling. Now, what would be required as ammunition for this sling? Anybody can answer this one. A stone, right? Stones. Some sort of a rock or a stone would be used as ammunition. And so tonight I want to look at this picture in the Bible of Christ using us to accomplish his will. Something we must understand in God's will is God's will always has a purpose. Sometimes we think that we are doing, or what we are doing, is insignificant for God, and that God is not using us to our fullest potential. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And have you ever done that at work? You maybe worked at a company that you said, man, this boss, I could run circles around him if I had his job. Man, they're wasting my potential away. But there you are, just a lowly laborer with all of this great potential. Maybe it was your first job. You're just a cashier. My first job outside of the house, I was a canvasser for a campaign in Virginia. And that summer, they promised me a gift card and that I never got. So if y'all are watching, but I never got the gift card. If whoever had reached the most houses, well, I had reached like some 3,500 or 4,000 houses that summer. My secret was I threw my bike in the back of the pickup truck and I could ride up to each house. Because in Virginia, the houses are, at least where we were canvassing, they were very far apart. We don't deal with that as much here in the city. But so that was my first job. And, you know, I could have thought in my pride, man, I could run circles around the campaign manager. But really, I couldn't. So we tend to think sometimes that way about God, and it's a pride issue, but not to get off course here, but notice God always has a plan and purpose to go along with his will. He has something to go along with his will. 1 Samuel 17:29, it says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There is always a cause to what God is calling you to do. You may feel like nothing's going on. You may feel like nothing's changing. You may feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, but there is a cause, and it's always for the cause of Christ. Perhaps we need a fresh view of the cause of Christ tonight. All that we do and all that we are should be for his cause. Now, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and then I'll end up back in 1 Samuel 17. But 1 Samuel chapter number 2 is where we're going to begin. Notice, remember, what did he have? He used a sling and he used stones. All right, now I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I want us to look, number one, at the smooth stones. I'm making application tonight for clarity of David, the shepherd boy, as Christ. And he is using us as these stones to take down the giants. The title of the message tonight is God Still Uses Smooth Stones to Kill Giants. All right? And so, number one, these smooth stones. When I worked at the Granite Company down in South Carolina, I noticed that people always wanted smooth countertops. How many of you want your countertops to be smooth? You don't want to run your hands over them and get cut. You don't want to have it dig into your hand. And so they always wanted smooth countertops, but they always just thought that they came that way. They don't come out of the ground. They don't come out of this earth smooth. They're jagged. They have all kinds of different edges. They have all kinds of different things and burrs on them that you have to get rid of. And so this took time. The process to make a countertop smooth could not be done in one step. I was the one in charge of ordering supplies, and I would order these pads, and there would be 7 different pads that they would put onto a grinder, and they had to add water, and then they go with number 1, and then they change it out and go with number 2, and this could take 30, 45 minutes just to get a smooth edge on that piece of rock. And so it took time. It took effort. And it also depended on how hard the rock was. Quartzite would be harder than granite. Dolomite or marble would be much softer than those. And so it all depended on how hard the rock was. But then in verse number 40, so with that in mind, they always wanted it to be smooth. Verse number 40 of 1 Samuel 17, as we read, it says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of..." Where? The brook. Out of the brook. You know, there's this this application that God makes in His Word to water. He talks about Himself being the living water for salvation. That's the first step to getting into the brook, getting into where the water is flowing, is in salvation. In John 4, 13 through 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And so I believe in salvation, that's the first step to getting into the brook. Remember, we're looking at ourselves as the smooth stones in the brook, and we're looking at Christ as the shepherd. But then the second thing I think that goes along with us being in the brook is being in the Word of God. Ephesians 4, or 5 rather, verses 25 through 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. By the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Spending time in that brook as that water goes across those rocks, it changes the way that they are shaped. It changes what they are. And so you think about that countertop that we had to smooth down. We had to make it a nice smooth countertop, and it took water and some effort and some time. Christ tries to do that with us with the Bible. If you take a new believer and take them to Daniel chapter 9, they're going to have a hard time interpreting what they are reading. It's going to be kind of difficult to go through that. You take somebody who is seasoned in God's Word. They maybe have studied it before. You take them to that passage, and they can start to understand things a little bit better. And so, obviously, this takes time. Being in God's Word and having all of the answers. First of all, nobody ever has all the answers. Only God's Word does. But trying to answer all the questions, this takes time. It takes effort and study. You know, so many people will tell you that their spouse, they realize, is so much different than when they first married them. They're still learning them even to this day. They may have been married for 30 years or 40 years, and they're still learning new things. The other week I learned, isn't it pink? Pink's your favorite color? I didn't even know that until the other week. Shame on me. Bad Pastor Knight, bad Jonah. But, you know, we try to learn different things about each other, but it all takes time. And being in God's Word takes time. You may think, I've read the passage before. Read it again. You may think, I've heard preaching from 1 Samuel 17 before. Hear it again. Listen to it again. Glean something from God's Word again. Has God's Word been exhausted? Are you tired of God's Word? No. So being in God's Word is what helps shape us into what we need to be. And if you want to get the spot and the wrinkle and the blemish out of your life, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Allow Him to show you the problems in your life. After all, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you want to cleanse something in your life, you want to fix something in your life, get in the Word of God. But then thirdly, in this water, in this brook, I see the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, you can write those down and look them up at another time. He's referring to the Holy Ghost as being water. And so when was the last time you really can say, I was in the brook? I was reading God's Word. Obviously, through salvation, we're there, but we're really reading God's Word. We want Him to shape us into what we should be. We have a prayer life. We are speaking with God, and we're asking Him to show us from His Word what we need to do. And then that you're following His leading. It's not always easy to understand or remember or think about that leading of the Holy Spirit, but ask Him each and every day, Lord, lead me. Guide me. Show me somebody. Hey, maybe it's somebody I should give a track to. Show me that person. Help me that way. And so following His leading. So we look at the smooth stones there in the brook, but then notice the shepherd's hand. David is the one. He reaches down and he gets these smooth stones out of the water brook. This is Christ, and he's picking through the stones. And it is up to God's will what battles He lets you fight. This little stone, this little pebble in this water brook had no clue it was going to be the one to take out Goliath. It had no clue, if you think with me for a moment, that the rock could think. And so it is sitting there and it has no idea that it's going to be picked out. You may be so surprised at the things that God asks you to do. There may be a young person over here that God's going to ask to be the next evangelist. That God's going to ask to be the next pastor of a church. That God's going to ask to be the next missionary. There may be an older person in here that God's asking to do something that you'd never expect. That you would be wondering, wow, how are they going to do that? Or how's God going to do that? Well, hey, it's all up to Him. And He knows the battle He's asking you to fight. It is up to Him where and in what capacity He asks you to serve. You know, we can't all be pastors. We can't all be evangelists. We can't all be teachers. We can't all do everything. So God picks people specifically, just as David picked these stones out of the brook. And so we see Christ there as he's, or David there as he's leaning down and he's picking these rocks out. And I can see David, I can see him at the water brook, and I can see him looking around, and I can see him picking up some stones like this. Here, Brother Bill. I can see him picking up some stones like this. And, you know, I don't know if y'all have seen a sling before, but this would be more like a catapult, all right? You'd need a trebuchet to throw this rock, all right? And so I can see him sorting through, and he sees one of these, and he says, no, this one's not going to do. That one's not going to do. I'm just going to toss that one to the side. And then I see maybe, you know, that one's too big for the job. And then I can see him almost laughingly reaching down and grabbing this little thing and thinking, what's that going to do? What's this little rock going to do for me? How am I supposed to put this in a sling? You realize that baseballs are the weight that they are so that you can't, so it will actually help not hurt your arm by throwing it, right? They have them a certain weight so that your arm, you won't throw your arm out so easily. If you've ever tried to throw a tennis ball full speed, you know what I'm talking about. It hurts to do that. And so this little rock, you can't build as much momentum with this little rock, you know, when you're trying to sling it. Here, Brother Mark, I'll toss that one. All right? And so, see, that one, you'd have a hard time slinging that and really getting enough momentum. And so, but that doesn't mean that rock's not useful. You take a bunch of those rocks and you crush them up and you use them in concrete and people use them in driveways and all kinds of different things. These types of rocks, they're very useful. I forgot this was here. I almost tripped. And so these types of rocks, you know, they can be used for as foundational stones. They can be used to do different things. See, God has a different stone for each job. And so then maybe David, he's reaching around and he finds a couple of these bad boys. All right, now this is more the size. This, you can get enough power. I mean, I could nail Brother Mark. You know, I'd miss and hit Brother Caleb. But, you know, you can really get some power behind this rock. And so David, he's reaching down. And as I see Christ as a picture of Christ, he's reaching down into the water brook. He's reaching down looking for somebody to be that stone, to be that one that can take on this battle, who can take on this giant. David knew exactly the stone he needed for the job, and he picked out these five smooth stones. But you know, but then sometimes stones, they aren't smooth enough. You know, a stone has to be smooth to fly through the air properly, or else it's going to be erratic. You're not going to be able to tell. You can't take a little one of those stones and use them in a sling. It's not going to fly straight. You're not going to be accurate. And so he picks out the perfect stone. I think this is a stone that maybe has been in the river for a while. It's been in the brook. It's been in the Word of God. God has been able to shape this stone a little bit. He's been working on this one for a while because he knows he has a specific task that he needs this stone to perform. He's been working on it a while. It's been there. Maybe we need to just be in God's Word and allow Him to shape us for each and every battle. But David, he knew that stone that he needed. And sometimes we aren't smooth enough. But I wonder if there's ever been a time where Christ had a task that he needed done. Maybe here at the church, he needed somebody to do something. And he needed somebody to step up. And, you know, I can see David maybe reaching down, and it's a smooth stone on the outside. It looks great on the outside. When you're looking down in the water, it's like, wow, it's almost gleaming. And he reaches down and he digs that stone out, but he turns it over and there's all kinds of jagged edges. It's not smooth. It's not round. It's not going to fly straight. And it can't do what it needs to do. I think sometimes that's how we are in church. We look great on that outside. We're smooth on the outside. But see, and I'm not trying to be harsh here, God can show and reveal to men. He says that God will reward you openly for those prayers in secret. God reveals openly to everybody who's really able to be used by who He is picking and who He is asking to do certain things. He is saying, hey, this person is ready. I'm going to start using them. I'm going to plug them into this ministry or that ministry. And He's going to use them. He can see the underside of that rock. You know, sometimes Pastor and I, we can't see that. You can't see that from this outside. You think it looks great on the outside, but on that underside, it's just not able to be used for the task. And so I think sometimes David, he picked up a few stones and he thought, nah, I just can't use that one yet. This one, if it had been in the brook just a little longer, maybe I could have used it. And he sits that one back down. And I think that God has a task for us. We should be preparing for it. If you are sitting here tonight and you're thinking, what am I supposed to do? What is my next thing? Hey, prepare. Just prepare. Be in God's Word. Be asking the Lord to show you, but prepare yourself for whatever God would have you to do. But then number three, this stone was not thrown by David. It was in the shepherd's sling. And all stones, as I mentioned, are different. We have the big stone, the Caleb stone, the Mike stone, the little stone. We have all these different stones here. You know, I think about the different rocks that are at Presque Isle at the peninsula. I like to skip rocks. And when we first moved here, I think every time we went down there, Patty, find me, I'm wandered away and I'm skipping rocks. I like skipping rocks. But I noticed there are some rocks that just can't handle the throw. They fall apart as soon as they hit the water. They're just, I don't know if they're sandstone or something like that, but they can't handle the pressure that I'm putting on it when I throw it and it hits the water, it just disintegrates. But then I can find a few that are perfect and I can throw them and I can get 10, 12, 15 skips out of the thing. I can really use that one for the job. They're all different. You know, not everybody can handle the same stuff. God knows who to pick and who to use for certain tasks because He knows who can handle certain things. You see, the giants that God wants you or wants to use you to take down, our giants are the giants that you can handle through His strength. He's not going to ask you to take down all of these things in your own power. No, He's asking you to do it in His strength. If David had gone out there all cocky and prideful and said, oh, well, I'm just going to take this guy out, and he grabbed the first stone he saw and he put it in the sling and he slung it, I believe David would have probably died on that battlefield. But no, he didn't do that. He trusted God for what would be done. And so when we give God liberty to do with us as He sees fit, we can always trust the aim of the shepherd's sling. He's not trying to throw you into battles that are not able to be won. He's not trying to throw you at giants that you can't handle through His strength. He is trying to use you for a purpose. In 1 Samuel 17, 48 and 49, it says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. In verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. But notice what it says, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Notice he fell upon his face. He fell upon his face. If I was to actually throw this rock and hit Brother Mark, I doubt he would fall forward. I know this is kind of morbid, but I doubt he would fall forward. He'd probably fall backward, right? Because of that momentum. That's the direction it's going. I believe when David, he slung this stone, he slung this rock, and he hit Goliath right in the forehead, and it says it sank into his forehead, and then he falls forward. He falls forward. As if this account were not miraculous enough. I mean, this little shepherd boy, this little guy, goes out there and defeats this 9.5-foot-tall giant, or this 10-foot-tall giant. He takes him out. God, it's not miraculous enough. He decides to push Goliath over face first himself. He says, I'm tired of you talking about me like that. I sent a young boy. You don't think he can do it, but through me he can. And so then when he takes you out, he pushes Goliath, I believe, face forward as he falls to the ground. And so this is when God uses you and when we are used of God and the shepherd's hand, he gets all the glory. If David tried to go out from this battle and get any kind of glory, I don't see it anywhere. I see that David, he's giving glory to God. He's saying thank you and that God has used him to defeat this giant. And so my question tonight as we close is, are we smooth stones? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you preparing for whatever the challenge may be? Are we able to be used of God right now? Maybe if God wanted to come and ask you right now, hey, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. Are you ready? Are you close to God right now? And then if He does use you, do like David. Do like David and just trust Him. Just trust Him because in the shepherd's hand, His aim is true. And you can trust that He's doing all of this for a purpose. Let's bow for a word of prayer. See, God has a plan and purpose for each of us, for our lives. He desires to use each of us as these smooth stones to take down the giants, but it requires us to be willing to be used of Him. In Isaiah 6:8, we find the phrase, here am I, send me. Is that your attitude tonight? Here am I, send me. Hey, the mission field's not just for young people. The mission field's not just for college graduates. Becoming a preacher is not just for children who are called to preach. God may call an older person to preach. God may use you in a way you never thought He could ever use you. But see, God is someone who we don't always understand. And so, is that your attitude? Here am I, send me. Could it be tonight that you should come forward to this old-fashioned altar and ask God to use you? There's no greater joy in this world than to know that God is using you and to know that God has used you for something. Or it may be that you should ask Him to prepare you for the work. Maybe you want to come and commit yourself to His will, and that you will allow Him to use you however He sees fit. Or could it be somewhere through the message, I know it wasn't a salvation message, but that you have examined yourself and have come to the conclusion that you haven't been saved. Well, you see, the first step to being used by God is to be found in God through salvation. There is no better time to be saved than now. If there's anyone like that here tonight, you're just not sure. You may not even know what salvation is. You've got questions. If you would just raise your hand, just lift up your hand. Nobody else is looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you'd raise your hand and say, I'm in need of salvation. Anybody like that here tonight? Dear saint, if you need to come to this altar, it is open to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would work in our lives, help us to be usable for You, that we would be able to take down the giants of this world. There's so many different things that we can't do on our own, nothing we can do in our own strength. And Lord, I pray that You would give us the strength from You to take down the giants that You send our way. And we'll thank You for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray.
Amen. Please stand and take your hymnals and turn to number 598, number 598. And if you have any questions, I'll be down front. You can come ask me, or if you need to come to the altar, it is open to you. Number 598.